Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along. It's the FL 72. Sam and Tom back with you for another week. The international break is over. Come on, proper football is back from the weekend. But that's not taking anything away from League One and Two, because Bradford City, they're still on fire at the minute. We'll talk all about the Bantam. Still third in League One, but another fine victory at the weekend. My tip, Rotherham United going very well as well, up to fourth in League One. We'll look ahead to the Championship, returning to Leeds United, signing potentially a new goalkeeper this week. Could that be after Tom Carnduff's goalkeeper school last week, where he critiqued old Felix's performances? We'll talk Sheffield Wednesday as well, along with all the usual features. Good days, bad days will return, and we'll have to Crawley Town Watch, I'm sure, along the way. Not sure if there's a 30-second coil. We'll find out from Tom very shortly. And there he is, Tom Carnduff.
Hello.
Right.
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good
stuff.
Yeah, we've missed the production meeting this week.
Yes.
Because literally I got to the studios with about 30 seconds to spare because I've been stuck in traffic.
Good timing.
Thanks Bradford.
Good timing.
But got here. But yeah, 30
it's
second
right,
call.
Yeah.
Do we have it? Do we have the
no,
third feature? What's going on?
It's been an international break, isn't it? Which has ruined everything.
Scottish football not play. I
no,
don't care
I checked.
About Scottish football.
However, more interestingly, if you go on YouTube, Ross County have done a sit-down five-part interview with Owen.
Really?
Finding out about his life.
Oh, excellent.
From the moment he was born to now being Ross County manager. And it's got that, some lovely music underneath it. Owen talking about everything, from his family to his playing career to now being best manager in the world. It's very interesting. Go check it out. Plug in Ross County's media forum.
That will be...
I want to say interesting.
It's always
cool. Go watch it.
I should be watching that. I do watch YouTube when I'm washing up in an evening. So yeah, that could be tonight's...
Watch YouTube? What are you
watching? When I'm washing up of an evening. My one and only job in the house.
Watch or listen?
I put on YouTube on the computer or iPad or the phone.
Just too distracting. Too much going on there.
A bit of boxing chat or whatever. Or
too much going on for me. It's too much to focus on, isn't it? Because like, you got to look at what you're doing. Just listen to the Owen Cole interview. You wash it up?
Yeah, well, you're listening and then you're kind of watching a little bit. That's what you do with TV. More often than not.
Yeah.
You watch football. You're always on Twitter, so see you tweeting during matches.
Yeah,
so you're not
point?
Concentrating on the game, are you?
Yeah,
you're just
have
on
you
Twitter.
Watched England?
I'm not.
There you go.
Again, I've learned better.
You'd understand. It's better to tweet. Get some 80s music on. It's the best way.
What, during international football?
No, washing up playlist. I got one. It's on Spotify.
Okay.
There you go. Good start to the show.
Learning a lot about each other tonight. Let's talk about the international football.
Yeah.
Very, very briefly, because that's all it deserves. England, I've learnt now. Unless it's a major tournament, I just can't be bothered. I've given up. So I record the highlights and then I let social media or people judge whether I actually watch the highlights or not.
That's a good tactic, that, actually.
Yeah, so I didn't watch anything, not seen anything of Thursday's game whatsoever. I've seen the goal on the internet, but no other minutes or seconds of the game apart from that. And then I saw about half an hour of the game on Sunday just because I was knocking about.
Doing your washing up. I watched Thursday, learnt my lesson and went out instead on Sunday, so I couldn't watch it. Because I knew if I was sat in, I'd just put it on.
Put it on, yeah.
So I went out purposely with the aim of avoiding it. England.
Where'd you go? What's better than England?
Went to Hull. Went to Hull. That is better than watching England.
English football.
There was a reason I didn't just go.
You went to ice hockey.
I went to ice hockey in Hull. Not just I'll go to Hull, because that'll truly put me off anything ever. To avoid England, who are at the World Cup and going to get knocked out in the last 16 by Finland or Iceland or someone rubbish. Like, I don't know if Finland are there, but Iceland, they're going to knock us out and we'll be in the same boat again. But yeah, we're there. Wales and Scotland aren't. So
Yeah. Do you care about the others? There'll be some Football League interest in those teams.
Yeah.
Obviously. But do you care that Scotland aren't there and Wales are missing out? So you're getting Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, you prefer Republic of... You prefer the Irish teams, don't you, instead of Scotland and Wales? Because Scotland, I don't know, it's weird because they had, obviously, the Strachan Out Brigade, and then they nearly made it. It's a bit like Carlos over at Wednesday, isn't it? Like, it's Carlos out until then they start doing good. Wales, I took great pleasure in watching them lose their place in the playoffs. Yeah, it was funny. And then someone tweeted the video of them all cheering when England got knocked out the Euros. We have to be there to get knocked out. So, you know. But, yeah, I'm not that bothered. Scotland, I think, just because of the Football League players, I do watch it. I watched them purely because there was a bit more on it, really, over the weekend. But I didn't watch any of it Sunday. And, yeah, it's pretty much done now, though, isn't it? It's done in terms of proper. Then we get to the World Cup.
Proper international breaks.
They get just rubbish internationals that are pointless, but somehow we have to play because they are warm-ups to our failure participation in the World Cup.
Yeah, those friendlies coming up. Brazil and Germany, is it very, very shortly?
We've got Brazil. Oh, that's good. They're good. And Germany are good. Might watch them just for the opposition.
Preparation.
Might watch them for the opposition. Not bothered about England, but might watch them just to watch the opposition.
So you have, like most people, not very positive about England's chances next summer in Russia.
Might scrape the group stages. Now,
three go through now. That's the new rules in the World Cup groups.
Is it?
Is that right?
I don't know.
Or was that the Euros? I can't remember.
That was the Euros, wasn't it? Because it was a weird format. But I know it's a World Cup. I think it's just the same format.
But is it not a bigger World Cup this time?
No, it's the next one.
Next one.
Well, Syria aren't there, so that's a major opponent that, you know, potential banana skin that we've got to, you know, not got to worry about. Because Australia doesn't sound as bad as being knocked out by Syria. So,
yeah. Is that what we drew? On a par.
Algeria. Syria. Did we draw with them at the World Cup in 2010?
Yes.
South Africa. That was bad. That was bad. So at least we can avoid something like that, kind of.
Yeah. All those teams on a level with Scotland, for me. I'd rather watch the Algerian Premier League than the Scottish Premier League.
More insane, isn't it?
Anyway, let's move aside from the international break and what you were doing instead. But if you do want to tell us what you did instead of watching England, what excuse you made, Tom went to Hull. So if you can top that, of getting out of it, and I think that just shows the state of the English national team, the fact that you would want to go to Hull to watch ice hockey instead. Bradford City, though.
Yes.
League 1 and League 2 were in action over the weekend, and Bradford, well, their fine form continues. They only lost twice so far this season. They seem to be stuck in third at the minute with Wigan and Shrewsbury. Not giving too much up, but another good win for the Bantams.
Yeah, I think this game was pretty much done in the first 20 minutes, wasn't it? Two goals, a red card. I know MK Don's got the goal back, but you'd imagine Bradford would be comfortable by that point. Great victory for them. Like I said, they just keep going. The only thing that's keeping them out is the fact that Wigan and Shrewsbury aren't slipping up at anything at the moment. I know Shrewsbury drew a Warsaw at the weekend, but there's a questionable red card, whatever, that could have been in there, which could have led to a win. However, they're just not losing. Same with Wigan, really. They're only losing a couple. So, you know, the only thing that's keeping them out is two better teams. Great start to the season for Bradford. I think getting results against MK Dons are the ones that you've got to be looking for. And then if you can beat the teams around you, that's obviously the bonus as well. But great start. And it's good to see them scoring goals again. One of the top scorers in the division at Bradford. I know a few other teams have 22. Bristol Rovers, I think, are top because of their hammering in Northampton at the weekend. But, yeah, really positive. Really good to see. It's a bit of a contrast to the start of last year where we were worried about the goal-scoring form. They've seemed to have sorted it out.
All-round Bradford, to me, seem like a potential. I say this every year, but automatic promotion side for this year.
I think they're only going to get better
as the season goes on.
Yeah, and the thing is, you're looking at Shrewsbury and they'll probably drop off at some point. We say this, but we did say that about Huddersfield.
You're Shrewsbury, man. You're the insider for Shrewsbury. What's the feeling around the town?
Very positive. And why not? I mean, they're favourites for relegation. They're currently sat top after 12 games, having not lost a game. I think the belief is that they can just keep going, and why not? You know, we kind of said the same thing about Huddersfield and they went up. We said the same thing about Leicester and they went and won the Premier League.
There's still a lot of people, though, that were thinking, who support the club, thinking, yeah, this might drop off, this might just be a good season. But
there is the realism, but then at the same time, I suppose, when you go in, we are a quarter of the way into the season, over a quarter of the way into the season, and you know, undefeated.
Yeah. League One's a funny league, though, because we saw Coventry the other year under Tony Mowbray that were right up there. Scunny last year were leading the way for a long time.
I think it's the same in pretty much across the board in the Championship, looking at Cardiff. Ipswich having their drop off now. It's when that will come, but for Bradford, if that does come, it'll obviously benefit them because they're in good form. They've already got a bit of a gap over the likes of Rotherham, Peterborough as well, which is going to take a couple of games for them to recover. So, yeah, great start for them. And it's just obviously just the only thing that's keeping them out is the lack of slip ups, really, from the likes of Wigan and Shrewsbury. And when they slip up, or when Wigan slip up, Bradford unfortunately have slipped up around the same time as well. But no, next game against Bury, very winnable game for him, away, I know, but they've just gone to MK Dons and won comfortably away, so that could be another win. That could be another win, and you know, it's just trying to make sure that you capitalise on the mistakes presented to you. But to be in and around the top two early days is really, really positive.
I'm fancying Bradford at the moment. How about for Rotherham? Up to fourth.
Yeah, doing well.
In the division.
Doing very well.
Fourth.
Doing very well, which I'm sure you're delighted about.
Very delighted.
No draws as well. No draws. Which, it's win-lose. It's one or the other. Pick one.
That is the formula you want to see. But yeah, for me, Rotherham, I've said it a few times so far that I think Paul Warne's spirit and enthusiasm this year will take them a long way in League One. If they end up back in the Championship, I don't think it will. But I think in a League One, a guy like Paul Warne with a team like Rotherham can have a lot of success, and it's proving the case so far. Yeah. You're getting more confident about them that they can hang around that top six.
I am a bit. I haven't seen them. The fact they're scoring a lot, they're identical record to Bradford in terms of goals scored conceded. I'm glad it is going well because I like Paul Warne. I wanted it to go well for him this year because it's his kind of first season, isn't it, where he can create the team that he wants, build properly and give it a good go in League One, where we know Rotherham are, it's probably their league, isn't it? I think the Championship, I know they stayed up for a couple of seasons, but it maybe is a step too far for a club like them. But League One, they're a very solid team. And yeah, really glad to see that Paul Warne's doing well, because I like him as manager. He gives off that kind of good vibes as a person as well, so yeah, it's good to see that in his first full season in his team, it's going well and they're flying. And yeah, why not? Why not? Based on the way they're going at the moment, they've got to be full of confidence.
Indeed, yes. Shrewsbury still leading the way in League One. Wigan in second. Bradford, then Rotherham third and fourth respectively. And you've got Peterborough in fifth. Charlton Athletic in sixth position.
I'd bet them to win the league at the start of the season.
You think?
Bet on them, yeah. Each way, though, because I reckon they might make top four.
Yeah, and then Blackburn Rovers just outside the playoff places at the moment in seventh. Doncaster, though, they're pulling themselves up the table a little bit, up to 17th now.
Yeah.
A bit of a slide over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, we said this, though, didn't we, with Doncaster? They'll be win, maybe lose two, win one, lose one, whatever. They're not going to be doing much this season, but it's just trying to amass as many points as you can and trying to drag yourself away, because I think there probably are four worse teams than Doncaster. I think that's going to be probably their cushion this season. They will stay up probably based on that alone. But yeah, great win for them this weekend. Good to see them getting the goals as well. And it's just trying to get a bit of belief in. I think that, you know, they can beat teams in this division, and to beat Southend, I suppose, as long as they keep beating the teams around them, they'll be all right. So yeah, it's an interesting one. It's just a case of, can they actually string together any kind of run of wins or points picked up, whatever. And I think that's kind of how they'll pull themselves away from danger. But good win at the weekend.
Good win for Doncaster. Let's move on. Let's talk some Leeds United.
Okay.
Seeing your face, you're dying to.
Yes.
But also requested by Guy Balderson as well, who's asking about Leeds United. Because we always start the show with Leeds, and it tends to moving in between some of the other clubs and back and forth.
Yeah. So
we've done 20 minutes without talking about Leeds, which is quite a long time for Tom Carnduff, just in life.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, just to talk about anything.
But he also said, just going back to the thing about England, that he was watching Coronation Street instead of watching England, which is quite a difficult thing to do because England is on ITV, isn't it? The same channel as Curry.
No idea.
So they're not on at the same time.
Might
so
have been one of the other ones.
Yeah, he's maybe watching. He's recorded Curry.
That's clever. That's very clever.
And he's watching it while the England game's on.
Because you've purposely gone out your way to give it in its normal time.
Well, the omnibus is on maybe on ITV2.
Yeah,
and he's watching
probably.
That.
Thing is though, I'd watch if I liked it, I'd watch it. I watch other TV shows. There was a well-known bookmaker on their Facebook page did the paint drying championships, where essentially while the whole England game was on and beyond, they just kind of painted bits of a wall different colours, and you just had to guess which one would dry first, and they just live streamed it for the entire internationals, which was more entertaining at times because they did commentary on it and everything. Yeah, this is the thing I was saying earlier, that it's just concerning that as a national team, we'd all rather watch Coronation Street and or paint dry than go out of the way. I'd rather go to Hull, right, than watch, and you'd rather do your washing up or whatever than watch England,
the
national team.
Yeah, I don't know what I did on Thursday. Can't remember now.
See, I was on a bus because there was a train strike, so I had to get a bus, right? It took me an hour.
So there's a train strike and...
And England were on.
And you wanted to then go to Hull? Even though you couldn't get the train there.
No, this was Thursday.
Oh, sorry.
So on Thursday, I watched it on the way back to keep myself entertained. At times, I'd switch off and look out the window at the dark countryside where I couldn't see anything because I thought, oh, that's probably more entertaining. And it was. It was just awful. And then switched on at the very moment pretty much where they scored again. But it was just... It's just tedious.
That's a bit deep that time. You sound like Morrissey, just staring.
Well, what?
Staring into the dark of the deep countryside.
Yes, and it's more entertaining.
Yes,
than
but anyway,
watching England.
More entertaining about. Instead of talking England, we'll be talking about Leeds.
Yes.
To be fair. Philip asked, which is a good starting point because Leeds set to sign a new goalkeeper, Kamal Mazek.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
He's a 21-year-old goalkeeper, a free agent at the moment. But Philip asked something we talked about last week. Is your take on old Felix Wiedwald? And should Lonergan start on Saturday against Reading? There's been a bit of time. Maybe if we didn't have an international break, there would be maybe a bit more pressure to make that call on Felix. I think he'll get a bit more time just because he's had more time to recover from the couple of mistakes that he's made.
Yeah. I think the international break's come at the perfect time just for Leeds in general. A few issues that need solving within the team. And it's a difficult one, but it's not the same as having, for example, your normal position. If a midfielder has a bad game or a couple of bad games, you drop him, put him to the bench, whatever, he'll come back in. When you drop a goalkeeper, I think that's a real message. And as has done in the past, and certain goalkeepers at Leeds, once they're dropped, that's it. There's no way back for them, and they just disappear. Which, you know, remember one has. I think as much as it annoys me at times, I think you've got to stick with him and try and play him through a rough patch and try and label it down to it being a rough patch where he's had a rough week, a few bad performances, but then he comes back and, you know, is obviously better. If you play him against Reading and then he has another shocker, then it raises more questions, and then you maybe get a bigger picture, a more clear picture, because you go in, we've played him in three games, he's struggled, he's had a week off the international break, or 2 weeks off, he's come back and he's still struggling, so there might be issues there, but they need to be careful with it, because I think once he's dropped, that might be it, because I don't think you just simply bring him back in, because it's all a confidence issue, and by the looks of it, I don't think he's got any confidence at the moment, so I think it might help they play him through a rough patch and keep their faith in him.
Does he get the next two games, do you think? Because we've got, obviously, Reading on Saturday, then a trip to Bristol City, who are playing well, but then you've got Leicester in the Cup, which you would expect Andy Lonergan to return for. So a good performance there against Leicester.
Yeah.
After a good performance against Burnley in the previous rounds, then maybe you'd expect him to really be pushing Felix.
I think, yeah, if Felix has a couple more shaky performances and Lonergan puts in a similar performance against Leicester as he did against that heroic victory over Burnley.
Shock of the round, Tom.
Oh, what?
Reverberating around the country, that.
Why did we bother with the first 80 minutes in that game? That's what I want to know. Why did we just not play the last 20? It was brilliant. But then you're starting to push a bit more, and then Lonergan's seriously starting to make a bit of a case, but it just throws in the question of why he got rid of Rob Green. I understand kind of why they wanted someone more flexible with his feet, but then you go in, ugh. But now you've got a goalkeeping issue, and your number one is a bit shaky. There's calls to drop him. You've had to bring someone else in who's been at the club before as a number one, as just a backup, and now he might have to go back in as number one. I'd just keep the faith in him. I'd keep the faith in him and hope he repays that faith with obviously confident performances, with showing up, with kind of commanding a bit, because Green struggled to start, let's be fair. Green did have a tough start and grew in as it went along. So as frustrating as it can be, I think Reading's a real test. If he puts in a solid performance against Reading, shows that he is, you know, a good goalkeeper in this division, then maybe he can put it down to being a rough patch. I just think it will show more if he does have a bad performance, then maybe you look to it.
Get involved in the comments, Twitter, Facebook. Let us know, would you drop Felix for this weekend's game? Leeds in action against Reading live on Radio Yorkshire, of course. Would you stick Andy Lonergan in after his performance against Burnley, but also the last couple of performances from Wiedwald himself? Let us know on that one. Elsewhere with Leeds, off the pitch, it's been quite a decent week. The Leeds United Supporters Trust announced at the weekend the stadium, Elland Road, becoming an asset of community value.
Yes.
With Leeds City Council. So that means in future they will have first refusal to buy Elland Road should it be sold again. And also relating to that as well is some talks about moving the training ground.
Yeah, it's been kind of a positive week in that aspect. You know, when Radwazani came in, he made it clear that this is the type of stuff he wants to do. The community thing, of course, is great to see, that it is that case of that it gives them a bit of a security blanket, that if anything happens, you know, it's going to be more difficult. It basically ensures that Leeds will remain, or Elland Road will remain, the home of Leeds United. It will B4 football, which is obviously great to have that security there. And yeah, the training ground came out today that Leeds City Council is going to discuss a report, I think next week or the end of this week, one of the two, where it outlines Leeds moving closer to the ground, which is something, again, Radwazani wanted to do. How to put it, like, because Thorpe Arch currently is about a half hour drive from Elland Road. I'm trying to think of how to put it. I don't know the distance, but it's about a half hour drive, so it is quite a distance away. They want to move to Holbeck, which is like across the road from Elland Road. You'd be able to see the ground from there. It's literally the other side of the motorway, so be a lot closer for them. And yeah, I'd like to see it happen. I think if they can build, as they're putting it, state of the art facilities in the local community, it's obviously going to help. And I think it just makes more sense to have a training ground that's close to home and not absolutely miles away. So it is a bit of a mission between the two, the training ground and the stadium.
Yeah, to be part of the city a bit more would be obviously more inclusive. I think people would feel at the moment, because, yeah, as you say, Thorpe Arch is so far away. It's almost a distance. You never really see or hear about things at the training ground. Obviously, you do being in the media, but as a fan, you kind of want to have a little bit more access.
Yeah, I think if, like you said, obviously the media, we kind of know where it is, but if you're a fan, you probably know roughly where it is, but it is a real distance between the two for a training ground. I think it just gives Leeds a presence around here. Obviously, it's silly to say with Elland Road being there, but if you're going over to Holbeck and you're building this training ground on an old school site, I think it is, along with that, they'll build community facilities as well, so obviously the community can get involved with it then. It's just kind of creating a proper hub, like a proper home for Leeds, isn't it? Not just the ground, the training ground's there. This is the area of the city they belong to, not just having the stadium there, but the team really most of the week are outside the city up near Wetherby, They're a half hour away. They're not really about. So, yeah, like I said, it just kind of gives that more community feel to the club. And I quite like that. And I think just from a selfish point of view, it'd be much easier to get to than having to trek all the way out to Weatherby.
Indeed. Yeah, that would be one big positive for
get
us.
Get it built now. Get it built now. Well, hurry up.
Stop messing about. Just move in. The old wreck.
Yeah. Right. It's just got rugby posts close enough.
That'd be fine. Leeds United, obviously the game against Reading this weekend. Are you confident that Leeds will come back with the same feel that they had a couple of weeks before the international break rather than the last couple of games against Cardiff and Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, I think it's Reading as kind of, I think we expected a bit dropped off from what they were last year. They're struggling at the other end of the table. Leeds should be seeing this as a perfect opportunity to bounce back. Reading are struggling. They're at Elland Road. Yet to be beaten at Elland Road. They've got to be full of confidence for that one. So, yeah, it's quite a good fixture to have, and it'll really show that if they have used this international break wisely. How to put it? It's because I think Vieira, Janssen, I'm not sure if O'Kane went with Ireland either, I can't really remember, but a lot of the players have stayed, a lot of the group have been together, so it's a good opportunity to get training, to get people back being fit, whatever, and it is going to be a test, it's going to be a sellout Elland Road, a big crowd, Leeds Rhinos are there to show off their Super League trophy, which has weirdly divided the fan base at times, but it's kind of the perfect opportunity. It's the game that Leeds want. A team at the other end of the table at home. This is a real case of not necessarily putting five past them like Burton, but if you can put in a good performance, get a 2-3-0 win, then the belief, the confidence is back, and that's what they need after kind of such a poor week before the international break.
And for Reading, do you think Yapstam under a bit of pressure? Obviously, last year they were in the playoffs. Everything was going well. They didn't play the most attractive football, but they got the job done this year. They've not won since going back to August when they beat Birmingham. Not won since then. Yeah. They've lost four games, drawn two.
They
since
are
then.
Struggling big time, aren't they? Big time. Which, obviously, as fans of the style of play, it's sad to see.
But that's the thing, when you do play a certain way, when you play like that and you're not very attacking and you keep the ball, when the results start to turn, it gets very ugly very quickly.
But
it's so difficult because there isn't that spark, there's not really much creativity. You play a certain way and rely on a lot of 1-0s and clean sheets. It's when you do stop scoring, even just the one goal that wins you a game and people start making mistakes at the back, then very quickly the pressure is on, and it's got to be on Yapstam because he'll want to do much better than that. The owners after last year want to do much better than that. It's not a won since August. A defeat at Elland Road on Saturday, you probably got to thinking a couple of games and they might be.
Could be.
Thinking about the axe, maybe.
Could be. The thing is, what we had for Reading last year was we'd criticise the style of play, but we wouldn't criticise the fact they're getting results. It works for them, as boring and tedious and whatever as it is. So that was kind of the defence last year. We could go, but it's effective, so we can't really criticise too much because it's working. Well, that's boring, and it's not working. They're 20th in the table. They're flirting 1 point above the relegation zone. He got them to the playoff final, but you question maybe how much of that was momentum, how much of that was just teams knew that it was going to be a boring game, couldn't handle it, and now teams have worked out how to beat it. It's questions like that, and it is how long you give him, because for a team that went to the playoff final, and we're literally the luck of a penalty shootout away from reaching the Premier League, how long do you give someone like that? Because it's the case of that, well, he's got you there before, but now you're sat near relegation. So I'm not sure. I'm really not sure on it, but you don't hold too much hope for them going to Elland Road, where Leeds have had a good start to the season overall and haven't lost at Elland Road yet. They'll be full of confidence. They need to make a point. And for Reading, you're worried it might come at the wrong time because they're the team that have to face them.
So Reading in a bit of trouble. What about Sunderland? If Yapstam's pressure's going to be getting on him very shortly, Simon Grayson, at Sunderland. They've not won since the very start of August. The second weekend of the season was the last time they won in the Championship.
Sunderland's issues just go past the manager, don't they? I think we kind of knew this.
They do, and we know it's a big job, but yeah. Do you think they'll have the patience to stick with Simon Grayson, even though he's done it before, even if, you know, he's had to pick things up in League One? In the end, he does a good job. Do you think he'll get the time?
It's difficult, because I like Simon Grayson, but then part of me is thinking, if they did have someone else, would they be maybe 17th, 18th? And I know it's not great, but it looks better than being second bottom. If they had a Neil Warnock-type manager, would they be in a better position? And like I said, I like Grayson, but again, it's kind of, you know what you're signing up for when you go to a club like Sunderland. It needs such a rebuild after a poor Premier League season. And they've come into the division a bit like Villa did, but more extreme. They're struggling. They are struggling big time. And again, I'm just not sure how sacking the manager will help anything. I'm not sure who would be about to come in that could turn them round, unless you're still second bottom come, I don't know, Christmas time maybe? And then you're in a real relegation, potential threat of back-to-back relegation. But then it is a case of who can you come or go and get? Do you go and get Harry Redknapp on the basis while he kept Birmingham up?
He's so retired now, Tom. It's all over.
He's never retiring. Come on. He's never.
He's helping out that lad. Where is he?
Yeovil.
Gone? Yeovil.
Yeah, but if management came along in the Championship, oh yeah.
It's
yeah,
a long way, on, Sunderland, for Harry.
But, you know what I mean? If they got someone like that in who they know could just, in the short term, turn the results around. But then it's, where's the long-term vision? There just doesn't seem to be one. So they're just in big trouble. It just don't look great. It's the same as the Premier League. They're just, you're watching them, you just don't know kind of what direction they've got. And I'm not sure how much of that is actually down to Grayson and more just kind of the state of the club when he walked in and took the job.
What about Bolton? Because the only good thing about Sunderland's season is that Bolton are much worse.
Yeah,
no matter. Have not won a game all season.
Yeah, I'm not kind of, how to put it, sure what Bolton could do anymore. They seem doomed already. And, you know, we talk about teams not getting too carried away at the top of the table. It's kind of, you're concerned that it could be that for them. I don't know what to say about
them.
There's
been a bit
of talk
about Phil Parkinson. Do you think
again
they'll stick it out with him? Or I know they can't really do much, but they did get promoted last season.
They did.
And other teams have come in and been more competitive, but to not win a game,
it's like it's like Sunderland. Is changing the manager actually going to do anything? Because there's only a certain caliber of player they can bring in because of the financial restrictions. So when you're essentially playing football with low-end Championship players / League One players, you're kind of going to end up with this. And when you're trying to throw players together to try and make a team, it doesn't really work. And again, I'm not sure whether changing the manager, getting rid of Phil Parkinson, will actually do anything. It might change results in the short term. They might get a few wins. But you're still backing them to go down. And do you just stick it out with Phil Parkinson, knowing you are going to go down this season, but you trust him to take them back up? I'm not too sure, but again, like Sunderland, I'm just not sure if changing the manager will actually do anything or if the issues are elsewhere.
Bolton play Sheffield Wednesday.
They do.
At the weekend. If they fail to win, the Owls, a bit more pressure back on Carlos, or do you think he might be able to turn the corner now and start looking up the table? Because before that three-game spell, there was a good result actually drawing against Cardiff. Then obviously they lost to Derby, they lost to Birmingham. And then you were thinking, all right, if you do lose to Leeds
yeah.
on that TV game, Yorkshire Derby on the Sunday, that maybe that would be the final nail for Carlos after all the frustration around kind of last season. But do you think they can start to push up? Only 4 points off Preston in six.
Yeah, I suppose it's a good thing about being early season. You hope that the Leeds game's a bit of kind of a trigger for them, you know, a bit of a kind of that kickstarts the season properly. It's just annoying that it's come 11 games in. It's like, I don't know, and I think the whole £20 note thing, I just think it's going to come back to haunt him. You know, when he got it out again after Leeds, mm-hmm. and you're like, you have only won one game, and it is a case of the international breaks come at a bad time for them. The opponent's leads came at the perfect time. For Wednesday, it came at the bad time, because after that, it wasn't the result, it was the performance. They just want to get out and play football again, which is fair enough, but it's that of, it could have been so different, because it seemed to be that they got the first goal and then it kicked them into shape a bit and they properly, you know, started to play how we knew they were. However, Leeds had opportunities to take the lead and it could have been a different picture, but they've got to beat Bolton. I mean, everyone should be looking to beat Bolton, and if they don't, again, they've already lost there this season in the Cup. Could be concerning. I think anything less than a win will be massively disappointing for them. And again, I think the pressure goes back to Carlos, because I think the Leeds wins just paper over the cracks a bit at the moment. And I like Carlos, but if there is an issue in the squad, whatever, then unfortunately the manager goes. That's just how football kind of works. And they don't want to be falling behind too quickly. I know they're only 4 points off now, but if they have a bad October again, then they're playing catch-up already, and that's not what they want, because we know they are playoff calibre.
Indeed. Ahead of the next international break, Wednesday, they've obviously got Bolton this weekend, which we've mentioned. Then they go to Derby, two home games then against Barnsley and Millwall before going to Villa. So you're looking at four out of those five games, Villa being the obviously form team in the division at the moment. But you've got to say, the previous four should all be wins if Wednesday have these aspirations of playoffs again, if not automatic, which they should be doing after what they've done over 2 years.
I think anything less, again, is disappointing. I think they could probably get two draws, two wins out of that, and it'll be seen as good. But then you're going, well, actually, you should have really be beating teams like that, or one loss, a draw, two draws and a win. Like you said, anything less than four wins seems a bit disappointing. There's a good chance for them to string together a bit of form. A few wins going into that Villa game, which could be massive. They could then get something. And like I said, if this is a poor October, then maybe you could worry about his job come the end of the month, because you're looking and saying, well, these are teams that should be beaten, especially at Hillsborough. I'm just not sure whether the Leeds game was that reaction to the Derby, because first 20 minutes, they were awful. They were awful again, and Leeds should have capitalised on that, but they didn't. And you're just wondering if that was just a reaction or if that's actually them turning the corner. We'll have to wait and see. But again, anything less than maybe four wins out of the next six would probably be disappointing given the opponent they're playing.
So that's Sheffield Wednesday. What about Sheffield United? Do you think they can keep this momentum going? Third still, obviously suffered defeat just before the international break, getting beat by Forest. But for Sheffield United, I mean, it's the weekend. They host Ipswich, who you've said suffered a bit of a slide. They've got Reading Friday night game against Leeds yes. Elm Roads, then a trip to QPR before they host Hull before the next international break. So again, there you're thinking real
good opportunity
to stay in the mix.
Yeah, it is. And obviously for Sheffield United, just the amount of points they can get early days, it's great. They just need to keep that momentum going from promotion. Because we know how well they were in League One, how good they were, how kind of confidently they won that title. And it's just like they've started the season as they really needed to, keeping that going, keeping that form and those results going, and stringing together the wins which they have, which is obviously great. So if they can keep that going now, then great. And maybe the international break came at a good time for them, coming off the back of the defeat to Forest. But Chris Wilder just seems to be able to get them to play football. I know together as a group you'd look and go, might not necessarily be the best championship players, but they are a very solid team. And yeah, especially during the Sheffield Derby, they showed makings of a real quality top-end championship side.
What about for Leeds then? Where do you expect them to be when we get into the November international break? Obviously Reading at the weekend, then Leeds go to Bristol City. They've got the cup game against Leicester, so the extra game there. And then quite a quick turnaround. They play Leicester on the Tuesday, then it's Friday night at Elm Road against Sheffield United. Then it's hosting Derby before a trip to Brentford before the break. Have Leeds got enough points in there to get themselves back in the top two?
They'll have a belief that by, well, not this time next week, but this time, you know, next next weekend, they'll have that kind of confidence, that potential to get 6 out of 6. It's difficult on paper, though, and I know it's not necessarily like that, but they are very winnable games. The Leicester game, it's a difficult one, but then Leeds show that they do rotate the squad against cup teams. They did at Burnley. I think early days was a bit different because they wanted to get the likes of Samuel Saiz playing, which he did. Kamar Roof got the hat trick. So they do change the squad. I think the killer for that might be if Leeds have, like Burnley, like it gets towards the end of the game and it's still a draw. There's the belief that they can actually win it. They end up scoring, they concede, whatever, it goes to extra time, and they've got the first team players on, which kind of happened at Burnley, which was probably the one thing that they didn't want to happen, probably one thing either side didn't want to happen. But positives. And then, yeah, to go to Sheffield, or host Sheffield United and Derby, if they get something out of that, then that's really impressive. If they can look for wins there as well, it's going to be difficult, but they need to really use Elland Road to pick up the points. And then, obviously, you win at home and you avoid defeat away, of course, you're going to be all right. So I'd be optimistic and hopeful that Leeds will still be top six come international break, or next international break.
We'll find out on Saturday whether Leeds can get back to winning ways. The game against Reading live on Radio Yorkshire from 1:30 p.m. If you fancy being there, box 44 is open at the moment. Get over to radioyorkshire.co.uk/ryBox44. Fill in your details there. The prize draw will be happening on Thursday morning. Your chance for a three-course meal before kick-off and watching the game from our balcony in box 44. A prize well worth winning. We'll be back on the FL 72 in a few moments' time as we talk some managers.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Sam and Tom here until 7 on the FL 72 from 7. We've got the evening show. Tom Maguire will be with you, and he's playing some right good tunes. Liam Gallagher's new one, one of the first songs he's playing after 7 o'clock. Very good album as well. Got that one yet? You've been listening to that?
I have, actually. I've heard it here, so listen to it. It's good. I like it. I like it.
Very good.
Like it. I will be listening to it again on the evening show with Tom Maguire.
Excellent. Company man, Tom Carnduff there. All right, let's crack on with the rest of the Football League news. Let's tell me a bit more about this story, Tom. We'll get to managers in a few moments' time. But English Football League clubs risk bankruptcy by chasing promotion to the Premier League. Financial experts say. Which financial experts are saying this?
The financial experts, the people, the financial ones. This has come out, sorry, study on BBC Sport, where essentially they've looked at how much kind of Football League clubs, Championship clubs spend in terms of staff, etc. That includes your players, whatever, in terms of the turnover to try and reach the Premier League, because we all know how much the Premier League is worth. You basically get £100 million more than if you're in the Championship. So yeah, it's kind of the study they've looked into. They've studied teams in 2016, teams in the Championship, who of course everyone really trying to chase promotion, and it's looked at the teams who spent on staff compared to their turnover. Nottingham Forest lead the way, 166% of their turnover essentially spent on staff. So this is showing that the likes of Forest, Brentford, Middlesbrough, Bristol City, Derby are the leaders. These are the ones that are spending more, and probably spending more than they're creating in an attempt to try and make the Premier League. So it's highlighting that eventually you imagine that bubble's going to burst at some point with one of these clubs.
You wouldn't say either of those clubs at the top of that list, though, are ones that are chasing Premier League. You wouldn't say Brentford have chased it at all.
Exactly, but it's a case of
the turnover's so low.
I think that might be it. It might be the case for a turnover. Forest, though, we know have spent a bit, in fairness, when you add it all up, and wages, etc. So that could be one. They're not a small club either, so they must make a decent turnover. Yeah.
Middlesbrough. You'd expect it from the likes of Borough. Fulham's interesting down the bottom of the list. So they've been in the Premier League and have come out, and the owner there has kind of stripped things back. QPR as well, you would say perennial overspenders.
I think they've calmed it down a bit over the past few years, haven't they? They've had to, they've realised, oh, we spent too much money, quick, get rid, which they have. But really interesting to see. It's quite good to check it out online that it is showing that, or they've created a report, and it is kind of outlining the dangerous. There you go, financial data firm Visible.
You should never put it that out.
Visible set have put this together. It's just highlighting the fact that it is quite a big concern. Eventually, are we going to see a doing a Leeds, as it's commonly known? That at what point does the bubble burst for teams who are outspending, nearly spending double the amount they're making, just to try and make the Premier League?
Indeed, yeah, very concerning. Elsewhere, we've kind of touched on the international scene. Is there anybody in particular we should be celebrating from the Football League?
Northern Ireland, of course. Plenty of Football League representation there. They've made the qualifiers. Same with Republic of Ireland. There's a few in there as well. So for the home nations. I'm trying to think of the European ones. Iceland, Birkir Bjarnason at Villa. They qualified. Smallest nation, albeit the World Cup, apparently.
Yeah, 300 and something thousand people.
Yeah, which, in fairness, at this point, it shows that even though England should have beaten them at the Euros, shows they aren't, they're no mugs, Iceland. They're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, to do it again, to say Wales obviously did well at the Euros and then haven't qualified, albeit very close.
It shows they are actually a decent outfit, in fairness. We thought, oh, they're terrible. Turns out they're not, so fair enough. But they'll be there, and yeah, it's pretty much the home nations, I think, the ones that are qualified that have seen the Football League representation amongst the ranks.
There's a lot of people who have been talking about where would England finish in the Premier League. Do you think they win the championship?
Yeah. Not with Southgate. No, they wouldn't. But I don't know, actually. I've never really given it any thought. I don't know.
Would Scotland win League Two?
Playoffs.
Republic of Ireland, would they win?
Well, someone made a point on Twitter that Republic of Ireland v Wales was essentially Burnley v West Brom.
Yeah, pretty much.
So could England beat Burnley or West Brom?
On current form, I'd have to say no.
Right, so they're going to be...
Not Burnley, anyway.
So they're going to be about 11th, 12th England then, do we reckon, in the Premier League?
It's interesting saying that, isn't it? But then they've got Harry Kane, and if you gave Harry Kane to Burnley right now...
Yeah, I can see that.
If you gave Kane and Ali to Burnley,
well,
or to West Brom...
I'm not a negotiator. Higher, obviously, but England wouldn't beat the likes of Man United and Man City, would they?
Not at all.
So I think we've established not as good as Burnley or West Brom, so we'll put England about 12th. We'll go there, 11th, 12th.
Which means that they should be managed by Sam Allardyce.
There you go, then. There you go, it's perfect. Get him back.
Anything but Southgate. If he'd have said 17th, then Southgate.
Yeah, maybe. Well, he gets relegated.
Or Droy. Let's talk manager. Steve Evans.
Stevie, yeah.
Our friend of the station.
Yes.
Of course, Steve Evans. Remains favourite for the Gillingham job. What's going on? They made an approach. It was rejected.
Tried again.
Have they tried again?
Rejected.
And again?
They want him.
Does he want it, do you think? Secretly. He loves the attention.
I reckon he does. It's a challenge, isn't it? Stevie loves a challenge and or money. So I don't know, because it's not been as smooth sailing at Mansfield, I think, as he probably would have liked. They're not doing as well as maybe he thought. So, yeah, I can see it, but there's no actual clear front runner for Gillingham. It's Steve Evans, purely because the approaches have been made, so we'll have to wait and see.
Richie Wellens, favourite for the Oldham job.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on at Oldham.
Who was it last week? It was
Clarence Seydorf
and there was somebody else as well, wasn't there?
Who was it? But they've had a few, and it's like...
It's one of those where it just doesn't seem to
Nobody
settle.
Seems to want it. Darren Ferguson, of course, that was it.
Oh, yeah.
Can't seem to get anyone. Richie Wellens has come forward. Maybe they'll have to settle for Richie Wellens at the moment.
Where's Richie Wellens now?
I'm not actually quite sure. Let me check.
He was a good player. Alan Stubbs was the favourite last week, of course.
Yeah, they've realised, actually, we don't want to be relegated.
They were listing last week.
Oh, he's currently first team coach at Oldham. So there you go. So after all this looking elsewhere, they might actually just approach a point from within, which just seem a massive waste of time. And it could have been done so much quicker. But I think they're being a little too ambitious at the moment with the people they're trying to get.
It's a weird... When you look at the actual market for the next Oldham manager, you've obviously got Richie Wellens now, the favourite. Alan Stubbs last week. Pablo Correa, Where's he, Corey? 6-1. Paul Scholes, who's from that neck of the woods, isn't he? So that's
to put him in there.
Seedorf. Sven-Goran Eriksson's 12-1.
Went to Notts County.
He did. Have all of them got someone in there with a bit of cash? It doesn't seem like that kind of club. On just seems.
You think they, if they did, they'd actually spend some of it on a squad that's good?
Yeah.
Evidently not.
I can't see a club that's had John Sheridan as manager 4 times out of the last 6 managers. It's all of a sudden going for Seedorf and Sven.
What are the chances we see John Sheridan replacing John Sheridan? Because the longer this goes on, the more it's creeping into my mind as a real, real possibility.
Mm. You got maybe Andy Ritchie's been there before. Maybe get him back.
It's just a case of just pick someone and hire them. We haven't got all day. Mm. Yeah. You've run out of time.
Neil Redfern still 25-1.
Could do worse.
Maybe stick a quid on, see what happens. If we stuck a quid on, he might just be odds-on favourite.
Oh, that's how managerial markets work. Maybe put 2 on, and that's it. They'd have to suspend it all and pull it.
There's a guy at 33-1. I have never heard of this guy. He's called Henk Ten Kate. Who?
Never heard of him.
Henk Ten Kate.
Henk. Like 10.
10. There you go. It's come up.
He is Dutch football manager, current coach of Al Jazeera. Not the TV station.
He's running a 5-a-side team.
They've done this. What are you doing? He's been everywhere.
Some career. He's a real journeyman.
Go Ahead Eagles, Sparta.
Former Chelsea assistant manager.
And Barcelona. Yeah, he's been around. Caretaker at Sparta. Had 3 years off. Wonder why. I don't know how that's a link, but there we go. And he is in. Get him for his name. Get him in.
I like the name, yeah. I'd have him. England manager. Let's make that appointment now. So Richie Welland's favourite for the Oldham job. Is that it for managerial
That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Just waiting for somebody else to go now.
Yeah, I reckon give it a couple of weeks. I was hoping...
Do you reckon there will be one by Sunday?
Maybe. I'm not sure who's horrifically out of form. Maybe Crewe, but then they won at the weekend. So it's like, Crawley, but they won.
Don't give it away.
Well,
we're coming up to that.
Giving
away the feature they're about to do.
People, but I got.
We're only about to do it because the time is just absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we're running out of time. Hit it.
Maybe we should do it. Yeah.
Obviously, the result 5-1 is disappointing, but again, they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with 3 defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win as a manager. But Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
We have to squeeze in all of our features. Yes. We have to do back-to-back features right now. So you're giving it away. So Crawley Town Watch, what's going on?
They won. They beat Morecambe, who are rubbish. So that was good rubbish off. Good, because it keeps Harry in the job and this feature in the job another week. So that's good news. They have got some crunch games coming up. So very interesting to see if they can do it. Very interesting. But they won. That's the bottom line, against 10-man Morecambe. 1-0. Well done, Harry. You've kept it going for another week. But they are still struggling.
Very quickly, Keith Martin says, what about Joe Royal for the Oldham job?
Why not? No, he's not as good as Henk Ten Kate, is he?
He's managed them a couple of times, so maybe.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Second feature.
Talk to me.
How long squeezed in we've got? You've got about, I'd say, 40 seconds.
Right, okay, League One. Start there, obviously no Championship. Good for Doncaster, bounced back for 2 defeats with that 4-1 win over Southend. Bad for Northampton, they were hammered 6-0 at home by Bristol Rovers, who makes them top scorer in the division. League Two, good for Crewe, they bounced back from just constant defeats, just forever. 1-0 win at home over Stevenage. Bad for Notts County. They were held at home by strugglers Forest Green. So no longer top of the table. On to the internationals. It's an international special. Woo! Slovakia, they were good. They made the playoffs. 3-0 win over Malta. Scotland drop out. Bad for Wales. They bottled it in Cardiff at home to the Republic of Ireland, who take their playoff place instead. International special. Good days, bad days for this week.
Excellent. Tom, thank you very much. With loads of time to spare as well. That's probably the worst. features of all time. To say we had an international break and loads of time to the features.
We
squeezed them in 2 minutes.
Messed up the street, didn't we?
Apologies about that, but time flies when you're looking at managerial markets.
Yeah.
People you've never heard of on the radio. But there we go. Tom McGuire is next with the evening show. We'll be back, hopefully, anyway, at the same time next week.